This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car.
Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
All right, top of the morning, Paul J. and Chris, along with Canyon County Commissioner Tom Dale. Talk a little bit about the jail. Now, we were talking off mic here a few minutes ago. So what's going on good in Canyon County? And you said, well, the jail discussion is really great. You had some great interviews yesterday. Tell us about it.
We did. You know, and before I do that, though, I do want to say congratulations on 50 years.
50 years.
50 yeah. years. I mean, that's just incredible. When I think about that, you know, that's I was just coming here to college. You were still you were on the air.
Lyle Smith was coaching at Boise State.
Oh, yeah.
When I was there, and he was 51 years old. Mm-hmm. What?
And he's 101 now, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, we've been working on the jail not quite for 50 years.
Seems like it,
but
though,
seems like it sometimes. Yeah. It does, yeah. It's been identified as a key issue in Canyon County for at least the last decade.
Oh, yeah.
And we've run 3 jail bonds, and none of them have... None of them have met the approval rate of 66% that's necessary of the voters. So we wanted to do it right. Yesterday, we had 3 presentations from people who specialized in analyzing data and demographic trends and justice trends and mental health trends and all those kinds of things.
Sure.
To come up with a good basis for saying this is what we need to meet our needs in Canyon County for Justice Center for the next 20 to 30 years.
Wow.
It was exciting. It was really some good presentations. The commissioners will be meeting tomorrow to discuss the review committee's notes and sort of things and select a group to go forward with.
Yeah, and that 20 to 30 years is a good goal, you know, because we know so many buildings that have been built, and 6 months later they say, well, we need an addition now.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Well, one of the key elements in getting citizen approval is to show that you've done your homework. This kind of an in-depth study has never been done in Canyon County for jail space needs. There was a cursory study done 10 years ago, actually it was 11 years ago, by DLR Group, which is one of the presenters,
right.
Yesterday. And they said yesterday, we did not go into the depth that we needed to, but they are constrained by the cost, by commissioners not wanting to pay for that. Well, 10 years later and 3 bonds failing,
yeah.
You know, it's time to do something different. And the different thing that I think we are committed to doing right now is to establish what we really need, what the citizens are willing to support, get their buy-in as we're doing this, not come with a finished product and say, hey, do you like it? But say, tell us what you would want to see.
Well, yeah, and you kind of have been emphasizing that during the time you've been working on it,
right.
Transparency as much as possible and
absolutely.
Town meetings instead of closed meetings, things
absolutely.
Like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Part of what we'll be doing in the next 3 to 4 months as this needs analysis is conducted is to pull in citizen groups, town hall meetings, focus groups, and say, what do you guys think our needs are in Canyon County?
When you're in jail, what do you like?
Yeah. Well, you
how
know,
many channels.
That's an interesting thing because what we had this lady, we've got a letter from a lady inmate who said, you know, I've been in a lot of jails and yours is one of the worst.
So, yeah, well, okay. I'd like to complain.
Yeah.
Here's an idea.
I take that for what it's worth.
I guess that's evidence, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the town hall meetings, I mean, you know, a lot of times when you're trying to get a bond passed.
Right.
People always cite lack of transparency,
right.
And the fact that you're trying to slide this in or that in. If you have the town hall meetings and things like that, they have input. You have
absolutely,
yeah. You can counterpunch there with them. It's a win-win situation.
You know, it's sort of like I've equated this in times past to purchasing a new car.
Sure,
you need a new car because your old one is falling apart and breaks down on you. So the first thing you got to do is figure out, what do we need? Do we need a Honda Civic or do we need an SUV with room for 12 people? And first thing you got to do is figure out what you need. And then you go to the dealership and look things over. And then you say, what can we afford?
Yeah.
And then you say, how can we pay for it?
I like that.
And that's the same kind of process that you got to do when you're talking about public facilities.
Yeah.
You have to, the public has to understand what you need, what it's going to cost, how you're going to pay for it, what it's going to save you in the long run. That's one of the things.
Maintenance, too. Yeah.
Well, maintenance, yeah. Operational costs. And the other thing that's key that came up yesterday, particularly strong in one proposal, was what's this going to cost you if you don't do it?
That's a very good question.
And that's a very good, valid question because you're going to pay millions of dollars of housing prisoners outside of the county if you can find space. Right now, we can't even find space because ICE, the federal government, through the immigration policies of putting criminal, illegal immigrants into jails has reserved all of the available bed space in our area.
Yeah.
Amazing.
One day it'll be like, hey, what's that 25-story building? Oh, that's the jail.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we don't use.
That we don't, yeah. Because it's reserved for the federal government. Yeah.
We're talking with Canyon County Commissioner Tom Dale. It's 845.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
Idaho Talks Live, our special guest in the next title studio is Canyon County Commissioner Tom Dale. You've got some polling place changes that are coming up for the election that's this Tuesday.
That's right. There is an election next Tuesday. We want to encourage people to really check your polling places. One of the big changes is that the people who used to vote in the Nampa Civic Center will now be voting at the Nampa Public Library. There is a parking garage right next to that. First hour is free. You should be able to zip in and there and zip out and get your voting done. There's some other polling places. Part of the Civic Center will be at West Middle School. Those are the big ones. The rest of them, I would encourage you to go to the Canyon County election site and check your polling place.
It's always a good idea.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, because, I mean, you never know. Even if you haven't caught an announcement, there's always a possibility that your polling place may have changed.
Sure. You know, we had some ADA issues that had to be addressed as made the news here the last election.
Right.
And so there's three or four of those that have changed a little bit. But just to encourage people to get out and vote next Tuesday, a lot of highway district commissioners. I think there's some school board elections in different places.
Right.
It's important to get out and vote.
Speaking of boards, you have appointed a new fair advisory board.
We have.
And, of course, Canyon County Fair always, people love it every single year.
Sure. And, you know, I went to the we had the first advisory board meeting on Monday evening. I went to that meeting and just thanked everybody for being there. And this is an incredible group of people who are really energized and excited about working for the fair and making it the best that it can be right there in Caldwell. You know, we're doing some major improvements on the fair building that we have there. We're spending upwards of $100,000 on maintenance and improvements. That building has been pretty well neglected for the last 8 to 10 years with very little done to it to keep it up to speed. And people are going to see some changes in there. And then there's some plans we've been working on with the city of Caldwell and College of Idaho and Caldwell Night Rodeo. There's some good days ahead for the Canyon County Fair.
And it's coming up the last week of July, the 27th through the 30th this year.
That's
which
right.
Which is going to be here before you know it.
Hey, you know, if you like the Marshall Tucker Band, that's coming there Thursday night.
Good plan.
Might want to go and take a look.
What about flooding in Canyon County? We've been talking about basically different counties having emergencies declared, et cetera. What's the situation right now in Canyon County?
Well, it's one of those things that the longer this high water level goes, the more pasture land particularly is getting inundated. Mm-hmm. The banks along the river are getting saturated.
Sure.
So it's still a very volatile situation. I want to let people know that you need to stay away from some of those areas that could be dangerous. I was talking to some people, this was about 3 weeks ago, and this lady told me that one of their bulls got washed away.
Right.
Wow.
And said, you know what? That's probably because he got too close to the bank, caved in or whatever. Yep. You know, who knows? I don't know. But the point being, this is a dangerous time, and it's not going away anytime soon. We still have a lot of water up in that snow that's going to come down through the Boise River. It's going to come right through Ada County, and it's going to go to Canyon County before it exits our area. And there's a lot of things to watch out for there.
The annual law enforcement memorial ceremony is coming up next week. Tell us about that.
Well, this is something that has been sponsored and organized by Sheriff Kieran Donahue and the sheriff's office there. And this is the fifth annual Canyon County Law Enforcement Memorial Ceremony. It's held up on Canyon Hill by the Church of the Nazarene there. It's a community park right at the top of the hill. And it's a real good event. Lieutenant Governor Brad Little will be our special speaker this year. It is a very meaningful and moving time to be there, and we're hoping for good weather.
They read the names of all the fallen officers from Idaho who have fallen in the line of duty, and there are 71, right?
71, huh? Right, yeah. And a single rose will be placed on the stage in remembrance of each officer. There will be a 21-gun salute. It's a moving event. Sheriff Donahue has taken this on as one of his projects to just honor our peace officers, and particularly those who have fallen in the line of duty, keeping us all safe.
Just a couple of minutes left. Hazardous and electronic waste disposal coming up Saturday, June 10th.
That's right. Last year was our first one.
You read all that paint and stuff.
Yeah. All that paint, all that poisonous stuff that you don't want to, you know, throw in the trash can. June 10th, it's going to be at the Idaho Center this year, the Ford Idaho Center. Last year, we held it at Southwest District Health Building there in Canyon County, and it was just swamped with people. It was highly successful because we got a lot of that stuff out of the circulation, but there were some logistical challenges based on the location, and we anticipate that it will be much, much smoother this year because of the additional space there in the Idaho Center parking lot.
Yeah, and there's a long list of things that you can bring: cleaning products, indoor type pesticides, automotive products.
Yep.
Let's see what else: painting supplies, workshop supplies, lawn and garden products, household batteries, fluorescent light bulbs, things that are flammable.
Yeah.
And electronic waste, like old gaming devices and things that you don't use anymore.
Sure, like, you know, your computers, monitors, printers, that kind of stuff. Audio, video stuff. You got any old audio stuff around here? The radio studio you need to get rid of? Well, wait a minute. You're Ada County. Don't bring it over to us. Don't bring it over. Take it to your own place.
And you can call the Pickles Butte Sanitary Landfill, 466-7288. If you have any questions, anything you can't remember what was on or wasn't on that list, they'll tell you what you can do.
Well, and they said just don't bring explosives or ammunition or prescription drugs.
Prescription drugs. Yeah. There's a separate disposal opportunity for prescription drugs and those kind of things, and we want to keep that out of the water table, out of the dump, out of there, you know, out of the hands of kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One day we'll all be walking around going, hey, what happened? I don't know.
I just drank a glass of water.
Been talking with Commissioner Tom Dale of Canyon County. Tom, thanks for bringing us up to date on what's going on.
You bet. It's always an exciting time to come over here and talk to you folks. And once again, I just want to say, I can't believe it, man. 50 years. All that's right. Incredible.
If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 6-7 KBOI.
Top of the morning, Paul J. and Chris. We're back. All the excitement happened yesterday afternoon. When James Comey was fired by the president, for all the questions swirling about the abrupt decision to fire Comey, one stands out above all. Why right now?
Yeah, why right now? Because the reasons given were how he had handled the whole Hillary Clinton thing with the emails and all that. which, of course, happened. The last thing that happened on that was back in October.
Yeah, so why didn't they fire him then?
And as far as most people are concerned, it actually, the releasing of the Hillary Clinton emails actually helped the Trump campaign.
Exactly.
And so it's a little weird, I guess, that Trump is firing him if that's actually the reason that he's firing him. Now, a lot of people say, well, that's awfully weird because, you know, Comey has just acknowledged that they're looking into the Russian connections in the Trump campaign, and there's a big, you know, investigation going on, and he was the one running the investigation, obviously, as the director of the FBI.
Correct.
So with Trump, what you're doing there is you're firing the person who is investigating you.
Which they started, stops the investigation.
Well, and they've been comparing it to the Saturday Night Massacre back during the Watergate era, mm-hmm. when Nixon fired the special prosecutor Archibald Cox and Elliot Richardson resigned and all that stuff happened. And, you know, it was at that time, because Nixon was firing people who wanted to investigate him further. And what Archibald Cox wanted him to do was release those tapes that he had made in the Oval Office, right?
Right.
And so he said, no, we don't need those. You don't need those, blah, blah, blah. And Archibald Cox says, no, we know they exist. We want to find out what you said. And this will clear you if you're not guilty. And then Nixon fired him. And then people said, well, he must be guilty. And I don't know if this was considered by the administration. And another weird thing is, okay, he said that he got letters, that the president said that he got two letters, one from Jeff Sessions and one from from his deputy, mm-hmm. who has been on the job 2 weeks, saying that the FBI director, who has been there for 4 years, needs to be fired. And he took the advice of the guy that's been there for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
A little weird, but, you know, I'll accept it. I don't know, because who knows, you know, who takes whose advice and how long he's known that guy. But it doesn't look good. It's a suspicious looking thing when somebody's investigating you and you make sure
you fire them.
Yeah. Yeah, and you fire them, basically.
Yeah. In the hours after the bombshell announcement, Fox's Charles Krauthammer said the explanation was highly implausible and almost inexplicable. MSNBC's Chris Matthews, as you mentioned, branded mm-hmm. it.
Who, by the way, is about the opposite of Charles Krauthammer.
Yes. Branded it the Tuesday Night Massacre.
Yeah.
Likening it to Richard Nixon's Saturday night firing of the Watergate special prosecutor.
And as we pointed out this morning, there has been just one other instance of an FBI director being fired, and it was Bill Clinton that fired him.
Right.
Now, with reason. He had good reason to do so. But people don't seem to be equating it to that. They're equating it more to the Nixon thing because of the investigation.
Yeah, and I think it's
also probably because they're both Republicans.
It's the easiest line to draw
now. Yeah.
The journalistic assumption pushed by Democrats like Chuck Schumer, mm-hmm. who demanded a special prosecutor.
And he was the first one to go on television last night and say, this smells like a cover-up. We need a special prosecutor, an independent investigation.
Yep.
Because, I mean, the investigation will continue, but it'll be somebody appointed by the president mm-hmm. to investigate the president.
Yeah.
And so you can see, like, that's why the Boise police ended up getting Pierce Murphy, you know, years ago. As an ombudsman, because whenever there was a police shooting or something, it was investigated by a panel of police who usually said, well, it was justified.
Yeah.
Now, probably not always, and maybe it was justified every time, but the people said, you know, it just doesn't smell right. It doesn't look good when this is going on.
Yeah, and the journalistic assumption, as we mentioned, pushed by Schumer, et cetera, is that Trump dumped Comey to impede the FBI's investigation of Trump associates in any improper contacts with Russia. Trump says he relied on the recommendation of Jeff Sessions, who looks like Henry Gibson to me.
Yeah, well, he does. You know, I always think, you know, every time I see Jeff Sessions, since you said that,
a big flower.
Yeah, I see him holding a flower and saying, a poem by Jeff Sessions, like Henry Gibson used to do on Laugh-In.
So Trump said he relied on recommendation of Jeff Sessions, who has recused himself from the Russia probe.
However, when you recuse yourself from something, do you then write a letter recommending that somebody who's involved in the probe be fired?
Not usually.
Or is that like not what recusal is.
Well, you wouldn't think it would be.
I mean, if he's not recused from it, then, you know, feel free to weigh in.
Rod Rosenstein, also the new deputy attorney general, is in there. Trump brought up the probe in his letter to Comey. While I appreciate you informing me on three separate occasions that I am not under investigation, he agreed with the DOG's judgment that you are not able to effectively lead the Bureau.
Last night when we heard that part of it, you know, because immediately on Twitter, everybody started...
Yeah, that was kind of a whoa moment.
Immediately on Twitter, everybody started releasing the actual letter because the White House released it right away.
Right.
And it said, you know, even though you told me on three different occasions that I wasn't under under investigation.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, well, that's strange, because even when he was testifying before the Senate last week, Comey wouldn't say who was under investigation and who was.
Yeah.
He wouldn't say anything about it because he said that's classified. Now, when we were talking about it, of course, the first thing we said is, well, the president, I think, has clearance to just about anything that's classified, right? Because he is the president.
Right.
However, if it's an investigation about something that he's involved in, does he have clearance for that? I don't know. I mean, it runs into a lot of interesting rules.
Yeah, I mean, rules have been bent.
Yeah.
Like nobody's business. Comey has no support in Washington, having angered Republicans for not prosecuting Clinton and Democrats for throwing that
for
monkey wrench at the end of the campaign.
Yeah, so both of them think that he didn't handle things correctly. And I think basically the president said essentially that Comey has not handled things correctly, and therefore we need new leadership at the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily disagree with that, but this is just weird timing. You know, because of all we just said.
Yeah, the erupting debate is all about Trump. The president, this is on Fox, the president fired the head of the FBI because he wasn't nice to Hillary? Really?
Well,
Who will Trump appoint to run the bureau?
This is a guy who for months was standing up there yelling, you know, leading the cheers of lock her up, lock her up.
Yep.
And then to say that
FBI,
you know, you weren't nice to Hillary Clinton and so I'm firing you does not sound like a very Trumpian thing to say.
No. Yeah, and he's
it would be like you
jumping the fence like crazy.
I'm thinking it would be more likely to be you weren't nice to Hillary Clinton, and so you're being promoted.
Mm-hmm. Trump knew this would be an explosive move. Do you think he did? I think he did. He had to know it'd have this guy.
You know what? I don't know.
Maybe
what he
not.
I don't know what he has to know. Sometimes
it's kind of hard to figure him out.
He does certain things, and like you remember when he was in that it was Face the Nation.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was weekend before last. And he was being interviewed, and he just basically said, no, everybody knows the answer to that question. Everybody's been talking about it. And he just said, I don't want to talk anymore, and walked away. Well, that's...
Can't do that.
I mean, that's great on 60 Minutes, but it doesn't come off so well when a president does it.
Yeah.
And by the way, they only do it on 60 Minutes when they're caught red-handed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
That's not to say he is, but I'm just saying, none of this looks good.
No, it doesn't.
You know, and I think Trump probably, like you say, he was probably just thinking, okay, it's time to make this change because, you know, clearly Republicans don't like this guy. Democrats don't like this guy. Probably the public doesn't like him either. So let's get rid of him. And all of a sudden, there's kind of a public backlash from both sides. A lot of Republicans saying, don't you know this makes us look bad? And then a lot of Democrats saying, this makes you look bad.
Yeah. KBOI News Time, 9:16.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul, Jay, and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
KBOI rewards code, FBI?
Mm-hmm.
How do you spell that?
FBI.
Yeah, how do you spell that?
FBI.
And spell it FBI.
Stands for Federal Bureau of Investigation.
That's right. Go to KBOI.com. Enter FBI, earn today's 5,000 rewards points.
Got instant messages. Jay of Meridian says, it isn't as if Rosenstein just went to work for the federal government weeks ago.
True.
He is a seasoned U.S. attorney and DOJ employee since 1990.
You know how many of those guys there are?
Well, and...
Oh, my God.
And so he's been there... okay, hang on. So he's... Okay, since 1990, he has a reputation as an apolitical straight shooter and has gained appointments from both Democratic and Republican presidents. Comey was fired for cause. Politics is never an excuse for incompetence. Despite the fact that it has been a lot, it's not supposed to be. I think it's what you're saying. Boise rabble-rouser says, guys, of course Sessions' recusal was just a facade to cover the worst political hackery in many years. Investigate Trump and you are gone. As Trump said during the campaign, he could kill someone on Fifth Avenue and get away with it. Guess it wasn't a joke. We creep closer to...
Yeah, define kill.
Yeah, we creep closer to Nixonian dumping. Which is what a lot of people... I hadn't heard the word Nixonian in a long time, and people were using it last night.
Yeah.
One more here. Mike of Boise says, it does not matter who it is, but what it does show is how politics work. It goes both ways, meaning if Russia can, in fact, alter our votes here in the USA, then I am sure the USA has also manipulated votes and so on and so forth. In other words, it's business as usual. This is yet another part of politics that we, the people, don't get to hear about. So once again, I thank President Donald Trump for at least showing us the truth.
You know, I think there is some truth to that. Last part of that.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you think we do it? You know why I think we do it?
I think we definitely do it.
Because we don't talk about it. That's why I think we do it.
Now, when the United States does something like that, generally we justify it as, well, we're on the, you know, we're on the correct side, or we're on the side of right, or democracy, or we're on the side of the people, something like that.
Sure.
However, when it's done to us, it...
Oh, my God.
Well, you know, it's... We have to assume it's for clandestine reasons.
Yeah, well...
Otherwise, why would they be doing anything to us?
Yeah, exactly. But we're doing it to them for clandestine reasons, too. That's amazing. It's incredible.
Yeah. Gary of Emmett says, before the hypocrisy becomes too great, remember Democrats held up the nomination of Senator Sessions to be the head of the Department of Justice, thus allowing the process of nominating the second in command, Rod Rosenstein, an Obama appointee who called for Comey's dismissal. To all those Democrats who say it is because Comey was investigating Trump, the lead agent who could take over is a man named McCabe, whose wife was given a $75,000 campaign contribution for her failed Senate run as a Democrat, the money coming from an ex-Clinton fundraiser. By the way, I expect Judge Andrew Napolitano to be on the short list of new director candidates for the opening at the FBI.
Really?
He is neither Republican nor Democrat, which I think...
pretty good in front of a microphone.
A lot of people
too.
Don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, when you are a Fox News commentator and occasionally take over from Rush Limbaugh, I think people kind of assume you're a bit on the right.
Yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got 30 seconds.
Okay. One more here. Bob says, I too always thought these people were related, Jeff Sessions and Henry Gibson.
They look so much alike.
And Maxine Waters and LaWanda Page. Okay, I can't see that as well.
No.
But maybe Roxy Roker from the Jeffersons, though. Possibility.
Yeah.
But yeah, Maxine Waters, she has done nothing but shake her head and talk since last night, you know.
And CNN has become unwatchable. A lot of people go, well, you're just finding that out? No,
I mean, it's like I said, sometimes we listen to CNN, but mostly we listen to like an hour of Fox and then an hour of MSNBC because you get opposite viewpoints. And on CNN, you get the opposite viewpoints on the same show, but all they do is talk over each other and argue.
Yeah, they sit there at tables and yell at each other.
Yeah.
Drives me insane.
It's less fun for me.
Yeah, and me too. I have no patience. I am not a doctor. 926.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
All right, so we are back. 936. Got a phone call. Let's see if I can bring it up here. Rich of Boise. Rich, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, it doesn't matter the fact that Democrats think he should have been fired because, I mean, we know he wasn't fired because he mistreated Hillary Clinton. So, I mean, we can dismiss that as the reason. So then the reason is, why did Trump fired him. And you know what I really think the reason he fired him was last week when Comey was testifying, he said it made him slightly nauseous that he might have affected the outcome of the election. Trump is so petty and so childish and so thin-skinned, I think he took that as an insult to him. I think that's why he got mad and fired him all of a sudden.
Hadn't thought about that, but yeah, he probably would take that as an insult.
You know, I think he took it as that he was nauseous because he helped Trump get elected. I don't know exactly how all this works, that Russia investigation. I don't know if firing the head of the FBI could necessarily help you. I suppose it could, but if the head of the FBI was covering up too much, word would get leaked out. So I don't know. I don't know. You know. It could be for some other reasons, like somebody suggested that, you know, Comey wasn't defending Trump about the Obama order and surveillance on him and that kind of stuff too. But I don't. You know how petty Trump is. He gets mad at something and I think he holds grudges, and so I think he just was angry about Comey's remarks.
Well, and to be fair, I think most of what he said wasn't about, you know, a particular issue or anything like that. Just that you know, obviously we need new leadership, and that was about it.
Yeah,
true. All right, thanks for the call.
But then it was after that people, you know, were bringing up the treatment of Hillary Clinton and the releasing of the emails without. And that was a strange thing anyway, back when it happened, because it's not that unusual when you get new information about a case to have it released to the public. But it goes through channels first. First, it goes to the attorney general.
Right.
Then it's released to the public. And Comey didn't do that. Comey made the announcement himself without going to the attorney general at the time.
All right. Who's going to replace him?
I don't know.
Got some names here.
Okay.
Now, these names are from CNN, so take it with whatever.
Okay.
Rudy Giuliani.
I've heard that one brought up, and it might have been on CNN that I heard it, because they were saying, who will be the replacement? And then you saw people walking and getting into cars, and one of them was Giuliani.
Chris Christie.
Interesting. You know, because he didn't even get any consideration as a possible vice president.
Yeah, remember that famous scene there where he was with Trump after,
yeah.
Was it election night?
It was before that, actually.
Okay, yeah, it might have been before. It might have been Republican convention.
Yeah.
And he just turned his back to him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was smack.
Mm-hmm.
Wet towel. Yeah,
like he thought he was Angela Merkel or somebody.
Yeah. Ray Kelly, former commissioner of New York City Policy Department.
Yeah. I remember that guy.
Yeah. John Pistole.
Was Ray Kelly the one that invented stop and frisk, though? It would make sense if Trump Trump's pick, but again, that would be a controversial one because of stuff like that.
Served as a New York Police Department commissioner for 13 years, longer than anyone in history.
Well, if he didn't invent it, he didn't stop it anyway.
No, he didn't. Yeah, okay, there you go. So John,
and like I said, not everybody's against stop and frisk.
Yeah.
Mainly it's the people who are stopped and frisked.
Which is always the case.
Yeah.
John Pistole, currently the president of Anderson University in Indiana, another example of someone who could curry bipartisan support. Last served as administrator of the TSA.
And technically the director
That's
of the
not
FBI.
A good thing.
Technically the director of the FBI is a bipartisan job.
Yeah,
regardless of
head of the TSA probably is
who
too,
appointed
right?
you. Well, yeah, I'm sure it's supposed to be. Let's say we were talking about that with Tom Dale when he was here. You know, Tom Dale, commissioner from Canyon County, and I think that's supposed to be a bipartisan job. But you usually know whether somebody's a Republican or a Democrat by the time they get to an office like that. Like, I mean, like with Mayor Beter.
Yeah,
I mean, nobody wonders if he's a Republican or a Democrat.
True,
he's a Democrat. Always has been. His whole family is.
Yep. Andrew McCabe would likely be the easiest pick, currently working as the acting director of the FBI.
Well, yeah, that wouldn't even have to move.
And had served as Comey's director since February of last year. Trey Gowdy.
Yeah, senator.
Mm-hmm. South Carolina Republican,
mm-hmm.
former federal prosecutor.
He's the very blonde
yeah.
guy, if you, I don't know, that's hard. That's really not a very good description, but.
Like Giuliani and Christie, it would be difficult for Trump to confirm Gowdy given his clear partisan bent and the fact he endorsed the president in the primary
Trump,
in 2016.
The president might think he's a great pick, but yeah, that's true. Getting him confirmed would be the hard part.
Yeah.
Well, you're clearly a Republican. What about that?
Yeah. Let's go to John of Boise. John, you're on 670 KBOI.
Hey, good morning. I guess if you're a Republican, you can't be honest. I think honesty would be the number one qualifications.
Okay.
And I think Comey was in the news too much. And I don't remember any FBI director being in the news as much as Comey.
J. Ed?
Well, J. Edgar Hoover, but yeah, he was...
Well,
he was director for what, like 40 years or something?
More than 2 or 3 days.
So. Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
Yeah, true.
So I think there are several, and I remember the Democrats hated Comey.
Well, yeah, in October they did.
Oh, they did quite a bit. And I just think it's odd. I listened to Chuck Schumer this morning going on
mm-hmm.
pretty much how great a guy Comey is.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, we haven't had a chance to catch that up.
Yeah, that's kind of those, you know, the enemy of my enemy is now my friend type of things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like we have with basically the entire Middle East at some point.
Yeah, right now, what I get out of this whole thing, Democrats said they're not going to work with Republicans. So they're being a little partisan here.
Mm-hmm.
But yet we have to have somebody who's nonpartisan on the Republican side. And the other thing that I remember...
But if you're nonpartisan, you wouldn't be on the Republican side. You'd be in the middle.
Well, supposedly, yes.
Right.
My point is, the only thing a Democrat might would want is Trump's resignation and a Democrat being put in. Then they would go for it.
If Trump resigns, it's Pence, and he's not a Democrat. I can vouch for that.
Well, I know. I'm just saying. I'm just making
I understand. Yeah,
here.
I understand. They're not going to be happy until. Well, let's put it this way: the Republicans should be happy right now because they have the White House, they have most of the governors, they have the Senate, they have the House of Representatives,
and they have
most state legislatures. But they're
they
not completely
be.
Happy. But the Democrats, you're right, would be happy if they had all those things.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And a couple of things I remember, and I just think it's odd. The Republicans are always stretching their hands out to meet the Democrats. During Hillary Clinton's hearings,
mm-hmm.
all I heard from Democrats was the Republicans are doing a witch hunt. Well, what are the Democrats doing now with this Russian thing?
Why would they even bring
warlock
up
hunt.
Why would they even bring up the word witch during?
Yeah. Well, they did.
Yeah,
if
well,
you
well,
listen to them,
seems like a bad idea.
They did, but right now, what are they doing? They have no evidence whatsoever that President Trump was involved with the Russians. None whatsoever. But boy, it's a mere appearance here.
Well, yeah, and that's what I said. Basically, most of this isn't about evidence. It's about appearances.
Right.
You know, this doesn't look right. That doesn't look right.
That's why it needs to end. We need some honest people up there stand up and say we've had enough of the childish, eighth-grade games.
Yeah, if that.
It makes you think, though, who's the most honest person you've ever known in your life?
Well, it'd be my mother.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Anyway, hey, you guys have a good day. I just thought I'd make comment. I just think it's sad.
It is sad. Thanks, John.
We need to get some honesty. And I think Donald Trump is trying to do a good job, and I support him. And it frustrates politicians to have somebody like Donald Trump. Have a good day.
All right. Thanks, John. Get this thing screwed up here. All right. KBOI News Time, 9:46.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
See, John left us without knowing what a Tempest in a Teapot, he started here with. Who's the most honest public figure you've ever known?
That is a good question.
I'm voting for John's mom for president.
Well, you know, okay, assuming that you can't, assuming that we don't want you to answer your mother was the most honest person ever, I would answer the same thing. My mother and my dad, you know, both, as far as I know, completely honest. And, okay, but like the most, let's say a public person or even a politician, who's the most honest politician you've ever
known? See, I threw out Frank Church, which is too easy.
Well, and
I didn't, you know
anybody,
is he that honest?
Anybody born after about 1981 doesn't know who that is.
Exactly.
Anyway,
so, and I knew the whole family and, you know,
Bethine and Forrest.
So I don't know.
Forrest is dead now, too. Did you know that?
Yeah. Let's get this phone call out of the way. No, I'm not just getting you out of the way, Mike. How are you doing?
Good. I'd say Jim McClure there.
You go. That's not bad.
But, the thing with the director, I think it is a sad day. He was an unbelievable director. He was extremely intelligent, and he got caught in the political buzzsaw.
Boy, and that can happen.
And
in a New York minute.
Yep, and I've met the director. I've heard him speak at meetings, and just an extremely intelligent individual. And it's he got caught. Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah.
And the Democrats thinking, oh, this will impede an investigation. That investigation is going on as your eyes blink.
Yeah,
it's ongoing. The system runs the system, and where the chips may. The biggest problem in today's time is all the leaks. As I can't remember the name of the movie, but it had a guy playing the deputy attorney general, and says the last time there was a leak, Noah built an ark this big, and that's what you run in today with today's time of somebody that has a gripe and they drop this and they drop that, but say what you say, but J. Edgar Hoover built a unbelievable law enforcement agency, and that is the FBI. And after he was gone, of course, there'll be some critics there on that. It changed. I met Director Webster on a couple occasions. Again, very, very top director. But it is what it is. And, I think Congress had it set so it would be a 10-year term. And the only way you should be removed is for criminal malfeasance. And... it looks like what he did was he came out and said, this is what's going on. And, of course, he was working under the attorney general of Barack Obama at that time.
Right.
So you start adding it all up, and Maine Justice runs the show.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is.
All right. Good stuff. Thanks, Mike.
Take care. Bye.
What was that Sandra Bullock movie? Where she ran a campaign in South America. My God, that movie opened my eyes.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I saw that about a year ago.
Check it out. It's on HBO now. I saw it the other day. Sandra Bullock in a movie with, who's the cowboy? I used to be married to Angelina Jolie.
Brad Pitt?
No.
You mean Billy Bob Thornton.
Thornton. Okay. Those two are in the movie. Check it out. It's pretty good.
Right. No, I don't remember the name of the movie, but...
KBOI News Time, 9:55. We'll see you bright and early tomorrow, right here.